We're live.
Hello.
Oh my God. Not with the leaning into the mic. Happy Monday, everybody.
Girl.
Well, this is week 4. Welcome to I'm Not Ready Pod. This is a podcast where we talk about our lives and everything that we weren't ready for in a world that we'll probably never be ready for. But it's lit. We here. Week 4. In your face. In your speakers. Your car speakers. Your AirPods. Your Beats.
We didn't even introduce ourselves.
Okay.
Well, I'm Av.
Clearly, I'm Drika. I'm the one with the most energy and clearly the most obnoxious one.
That is debatable.
Oh, God.
But I think we're both fairly obnoxious in different ways.
Oh, you know what? That is true. I will take that. I think anybody that knows us in real life would say as much.
I was going to say, yeah, we definitely give obnoxious just very
we do. I will take that. But if you're listening to this, it's at least Monday, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're listening. That's the point.
Exactly. And we appreciate it.
And we're glad you're here.
Speaking of listening, slight update. Like little audience rundown to see where we got listeners, any increases and whatnot. So, because, you know, we like to keep y'all updated on our stats too. Not extremely, but it's just fun to see.
Right.
So, we've passed 100 downloads.
What?
Whoop. Yeah.
I checked the other day and it was only like 70 something.
Yeah. Oh my God. We have over 100 downloads. That doesn't mean they all listened, but they're downloaded.
But it also means there could be more listens. Because I think you can listen without downloading on some platforms.
Oh, yeah, you can listen without downloading, and then you can download without listening. So
I would say, you know, 100 is probably fine. A good number.
And then we have a few new states that I saw. So we're having some listens in D.C., which I'm like, obviously, we're not that far from D.C. But then we had some in Florida.
Ooh.
Mississippi.
Come on now.
I don't know if we said Michigan last time, but we have Michigan and Wisconsin.
Okay, Wisconsin.
And we have Massachusetts. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
We're going to move struggling. Past. My man lives over there, so I already know who that is. Love you. But, but yeah, just a quick little update on that. But yeah, so we're going to jump straight into shit because, oh, the dumpster fire that was last episode.
Oh, God.
We lied like fuck. We really said, it's going to get better. Don't worry. Didn't get better.
It did not get better. I tried to tell y'all. I tried to give y'all a little sign. See, y'all don't see us on video yet, so I can't look into the camera and give y'all that look. But I knew. I said, Lord.
Oh, I really tried. I wanted it to go well.
It's okay. I think that we did that rain coming this way. Sorry, I just heard the thunder, y'all. This is storming.
Yeah. And
honestly, if you're in the DMV when you listen to this, it probably will still be storming because it's storming all week.
I mean, you already know how if you live in the DMV, you know the weather is as unpredictable as ever. Like, one minute,
no, Georgia has
rain.
The most unpredictable weather, I promise.
I don't know that. That's debatable.
Trust me, sis.
Because
I've been
living
in both
in
places, trust me.
Because
anyway.
The weather here be really obnoxious.
Well, that's your black weather report.
Because it's just the thing of where we specifically live. Like, since we live right in the middle and then we live next to water. So I feel like the combination of like the location and the water makes it very unpredictable.
Okay,
that's why
geology.
I'm just saying.
Or meteorology, excuse me.
I was about to say geology is like land.
Okay, but you talked about water. Shit, that's like land, water,
sure.
Geology, geography. Listen, that's not my strong suit. I'm studying
psychology. We're going to push past that because I don't know shit about that. Anyway, so what weren't we ready for this week? Oh, fuck. This week was low-key. I ain't going to lie to y'all. This episode almost didn't get recorded.
Bro, trust me, I tell y'all know that's like this... We had to push. When you grow, you have to push yourself in order to grow. And this was a push. Because when I tell y'all the way my bed felt this morning, the way the recliner was looking, the way Netflix was calling my name, the way my mental health was just like, sis.
It was the mental health for me. Like,
that's
because we record this again on like Fridays, Saturdays. So we're talking about from the previous Monday all the way up until this point. And literally that Monday with, you know, rest in peace, Toyin. Show so much respect for her. Her passing literally almost triggered a depressive episode. Like,
I'm not even sure that I beat that trigger.
All the stuff that was happening, and then her passing, and then all the other ain't shit stuff that was happening to black women on the TL.
Babes. She happened, and Nakia Crawford happened the same day, but people really didn't catch wind of Nakia Crawford until halfway through Monday into Tuesday, because we woke up seeing stuff about Oluwa Toyin.
Right.
And, you know, that was rough. Like, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, that right there, that shit was rough. I was very, very close to tears. And
I was in tears.
Everything lately has really been hard. But that was terrible. And then there were so many other violent things occurring.
Violent as fuck.
Black women. Like, there was this video of like this young black girl getting punched. There was a video of a black woman being hit by a skateboard. Being hit by a man. He used a skateboard. It was a black woman put in the dumpster. I mean,
all honestly, perpetrated by black men.
Black
men. Get y'all shit together.
And it's like, we get a double dose because, yes, the whole world is anti-black, and there's anti-black racism within our own community. There's also colorism, but we'll get there. But just from the outside, as a non-black people, there's anti-blackness and there's racism, and those two things go hand in hand. And then there's misogyny and there's misogynoir, which is specifically misogyny targeted at black women, which is misogyny and racism. And then dark-skinned black women have a more severe experience with misogynoir because of colorism and more anti-blackness. So as a black woman, and this includes black trans women, as a black woman period, you have those things. And then you come within our community and black men fail time and time again to protect us. And now, yes, not all black men, but it's enough black men to be an issue. So
I don't want to hear that not all Twitter, black men shit.
Hopping in our DMs. I don't want to hear that shit, because the issue is there's enough black men for this to be a problem. And it might not be quote unquote all black men, but all black men don't make us a priority. And enough black men don't make us a priority to stomp out the ones
and
who
enough
do
black men
us.
Cause black women harm for it to be statistically proven that a lot of the violence that black women seek are usually from perpetrators that they know personally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And black women are interacting with black men, you got to put the pieces together, babe. And
it's like a four-piece puzzle. It's not hard.
It's really not. And the thing, damn near two-piece, babe, just slide one over. Like, it's that simple. And
yeah,
then also like, the whole not all black men thing, it's tired.
It's because so tired. I just had to say that because I don't want them coming like, I'm not all black men.
I don't
well, actually.
Damn. Because the thing is, any person with privilege, unless you are actively going against whatever system gives you privilege, you participate in that oppression. Mm-hmm. So for black men to somehow understand, boom, racism works like this. This is affecting me this how, and I don't like it. But then perpetrate the same things, because a lot of the isms and phobias work within a certain system, and they all operate very similarly.
Yep.
Like the certain inflections, the certain actions, the certain covert and overt versions of those oppressions, they all act very similarly. So the fact that they can understand how white people perpetrate violence against them physically, emotionally, non-verbally, but then can talk to black women and just be like, I don't understand what you're talking about. You guys are always making it about you. Y'all are being divisive. Now all of a sudden I'm misogynistic because I didn't say something, but I never called you a bitch. I never said you were this or that. I never called
and
you.
And then, I mean, there's also like the niceties of, well, I don't overtly I don't physically harm you. I don't, you know, I don't call you a bitch. I don't call you out of your name. It's like, well, you can still be misogynist. Like, there was this, like, so all that to say that, like, we deal with it from the outside, then we get it from Black men. And then there are these qualifiers. And it's like, when we say protect Black women, we mean several things. Protect all Black women is really the number one. And that's really all it is. But by several things, I mean, let me explain this. Not just Black women that you're attracted to.
Yeah.
Not just cisgender Black women. Not just Black women in your family. Not just Black women you know. We mean right. all Black women all the time, regardless. So understand that. Like, there was this dumb ass tweet I saw that said Black women will be protected when they submit themselves unto Black men.
Dog.
What I tell you, that I literally quote tweeted and I was like, you must be smoking the finest crack, because there is no way on God's green earth that you really sat here and fixed your fingers to tweet such hogwash. Like, the what?
You're in this hogwash mode. You said that at least one time each episode, and that just proves how nonsensical this world has become.
Because it's pure hogwash. Like, you really gonna sit there and tell me, well, if you would submit yourself to me, you need to be protected. Or who? To who?
That whole, like, Christian facet of misogyny is very interesting.
It's like the worst.
It's bad because it's just like, y'all have all these caveats for being like, you have to follow the Bible, and if you submitted yourself and doing everything that you need to be doing, that's what would have gotten you the protection you deserve from us. And it's just like, okay, but what have you done to prove, even if we wanted to do that submission bullshit, what have you done? You have not held up your end of the bargain.
Right. What are you worth submitting to?
You are lackluster. Ooh. You're making mediocre pay. You can't build shit. You can't fix shit. At least those niggas back in the day, if they were submitting or getting a wife, they could at least put shit on the table. They could bring something. They can fix shit. They can do plumbing. They can do yard work. They can do all that shit. All that shit. Y'all niggas ain't bringing nothing to the table talking about submission. You think because you have a dick, I'm finna just be like, well, he got it. He won.
Right.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Like, honey, it's 2020. I can go to several places and get one.
It's not that hard to find. Y'all niggas be throwing that shit around for anything. So it's really not that hard.
Community. Community.
He belongs to the community.
Oh, the streets.
The streets.
Like, and let me back up and say this. There is nothing wrong with being promiscuous or having sex with whomever you want. Let me just throw that right there. We're not saying that. What we're saying is,
I'm not slut shaming.
No. I'm a qualified, because, you know, people like to hear something and I'm wrong with it. I don't got time for that. I promise you, this is not what you want. I don't have time for it. So do what you do, that's fine, but understand that, like, you cannot be a man with community penis, nothing to give,
giving caveats. Poor
credit.
Nigga, please. And then you can't don't and
fix
then-
shit. And then you have the sheer audacity to say, oh, well, if she was submitted to me, then, nigga, you need to be submitting to somebody else, because you don't have your shit in order.
You should have been submitting to God.
Period.
If that's the avenue you're trying to go down, the first rule is that you got to submit to God. And when you're submitting to God and you're following those steps and you're respecting your wife and all those things, those are still caveats you have to hold up.
Right. That's the thing. A lot of people lack that. Like, you have to understand that submission to God means submitting to what God is supposed to be. And if you really pull through the Bible or any religious text, God is love. God cares for those who are hurt. God is there for those who need him most. Well, if you think God is a man, but that's another conversation. God is there. And God does not judge. God, first of all, is the only one who can't have judgment. But God loves everybody, which is proof to me that God doesn't judge. But regardless, you sit here and say you are worth being submitted to. But you don't even know who you submit to or what you follow. Right. So that is literally the blind leading the blind. And...
yeah, that's just...
I'm not doing it. I'm not letting you walk me off the bridge.
It's really just, it's just accountability. And I know people really like to get very defensive when it comes to really calling your shit out and being told that you're wrong or that you're doing something wrong. But that doesn't mean that just because you're doing something, it's like, yeah, you can be misogynistic. Okay, so what are you going to do to actively change that? Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, that's all people are requiring you to do, unless you are violently going out of your way to do stuff. Because a lot of the times, we live in a society that perpetuates patriarchy and misogyny. That's going to happen. So men can perpetuate it. Women can internalize it. Non-gender conforming and trans people can internalize that as well. But at the same time, what are you doing to actively change that? What are you doing to make sure that, okay, I don't want to be misogynistic. I don't see that as a part of me, but there are overt things that I obviously am not doing. But what are some of the covert things that I can learn to undo? It's literally that simple. And again, somehow Black men understand that for racism as in how white people should be doing X, Y, and Z. But then for some reason, the intersectionality between being, and you understand that women are oppressed in the society, but for some reason, the womanhood and the Blackness coming together doesn't make sense to you.
But do you know why that is? The real reason I think it is because, and again, I cannot say all Black men because I know some amazing Black men, but by and large, overall, Black men do not want freedom overall for our people, or not freedom, that was the wrong word. Black men don't want to end oppression, they just want to be able to oppress others.
Exactly.
That's the way that they operate. Black men operate in the Black community the way that white men operate in the world.
Why do you think they call them the weakest link? Why do we say literally like are the white people?
They will sit there
Black
and get
people.
Power, and then they turn around and say, "Well, you can't do this or you can't do that." And I've seen it. And the issue is that Black men are the white men of the Black community, and it sucks. And honestly, cis women, a lot of us are the white women of the Black community, especially the way that we treat the LGBT plus community, the way that we treat other women. We turn around and take that internalized patriarchy that I've talked about. We take that internalized patriarchy, that internalized or the patriarchal issues, that internalized misogyny, that internalized colorism, that internalized anti-Blackness, and we turn around and perpetuate it onto other Black women. And
my thing is just like, with us. I don't even necessarily want to have that conversation, not because it's not important, but that's how a lot of shit gets derailed. A lot of the times you bring up a topic to hold someone accountable and they're just like, okay, but what are you doing? Y'all ain't shit too because y'all treat people like this. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I know Black women, cis straight Black women can be ain't shit too.
Oh, no. It was just worth mentioning.
There's no denying that.
At the end of the day, we're still going to have to say that, like, I don't know if I can say this, but Black men are worse, I think, because, I mean, that's a survival thing. But like you said, we don't want to make it about Black women because overall, we do the right thing and we cape for people. And Black women will always show up behind Black men, but Black men don't always show up behind Black women. And this isn't about being divisive or dividing a movement because we have to call a spade. And to unite, we have to actually understand each other and understand each other's grievances.
Hold people accountable. Because everybody thinks that it's a dragging and the whole cancel culture thing that it is today. Everyone's like, oh, you're just trying to cancel Black men. You're trying to like divide us. You're believing and falling in line. This is what the white people want. It's like, no, you know what white people want? White people want us to all hate each other. White people want us to enjoy it. Like, they already planted the seeds of misogyny and ableism,
colorism,
and homophobia, transphobia, all that bullshit. They made it. They made it.
No, that's facts. So, that is actual factuals.
So the thing is, if you are trying to dismantle racism, you have to dismantle all the other systems that are attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those systems are also built in because that's like the encompassing of white supremacy. So my thing is just like, for Black men, they don't want to give up the few privileges they do have.
Right.
Like, it's a power thing. It's like, well, I'm not the most powerful because of my Blackness, but because I am a man, because I am not gay, and because I'm cis, and because I am able-bodied and born in America, there are privileges that I have that I can execute over other people, whether it's subconscious or consciously. And what a lot of people are saying is that you just have to go out of your way to dismantle that and be like, hey, what you are doing in this specific scenario or what other Black men are doing is wrong. And you need to denounce that. You need to call them out. You need to chastise them, shun them, talk shit about them, beat them up for touching and harming other Black people. Like, you just need to actively not support it. Because if you're actively not supporting it, you're complicit, and that makes you just as accountable.
Yep.
It's that simple. But yeah, kind of sliding off of that, J. Cole, a fucking mess. I'm sorry. And again, I love how episode two, remember when I was talking about J. Cole stans? Go back to episode two and you'll hear that. And I skimmed past it because I was like, I don't want to get into that. Oh, we're getting into it, babe. Because J. Cole really tried it. That shit.
Well, that's what we weren't ready for. So honestly, I will say this because I feel like you're going to go off a lot longer. So let me just... Well, regardless of how you feel and what quote unquote side you're on, understand that the timing alone of that song is the worst factor.
Absolute
worst factor. Because, okay, if you had this conversation 3 weeks ago, the tone would be different. Because for you to release that song the same week that Black women are already being brutalized, murdered, raped, kidnapped, all these things, to release that and say, well, give me a break, I'm trying my best, teach me, educate me, it's like,
dog,
you can't even protect me. And that only reinforces the caregiver role that Black women are forced to take, not only over their children but over men, and Black men specifically to this conversation. But the timing alone is the worst to me. The timing was the worst factor about that song, the absolute worst, because it's like that's just like you poured salt in our wounds doing that. But I mean, I'm gonna let Av take over because I see she's just ready to go. God. And that's
like,
really
I listened to it and my brain cells were dying, like. Literal brain cells were falling out of my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning, I was like, because I listened to the whole way through and I was like, I need to pull up the lyrics because I don't think I just heard what I just heard. It's not possible that I just heard him say those things. Like, he started off, he was like, you know, people think I'm really intelligent and like I'm super like woke and blah, 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 blah because of the songs I write and whatever. And that's not the case. And I was like, okay.
And I was like, okay, that's humble.
I respect that. The minute it got to him talking about tone, shit store from there.
Yep.
Shit show. First off, policing tone of a Black woman, and this is under the assumption that he's talking about No Name. And if you don't know who No Name is, No Name is a rapper who's very radical, and on her Instagram platform, she talks a lot about abolishing the police. Like, completely dismantling capitalism altogether, patriarchy, all of those systems and whatnot. So assuming that he was talking about her, tone policing a Black woman is problematic in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that that her tone is bothering him and that it felt like he used attacking in his song. He was like, as if she was attacking niggas to make them fall in line with what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Already problematic. Because it's just like Black women are often, because the whole point of tone policing is to derail the conversation. What does her, if someone is angry about something that's happening, all of this shit is infuriating. Anger is not even enough of a response to see how brutalized the Black people have been up until this point. All the things that she's been saying, whether you believe it or not, that's a whole nother conversation about your own understanding of socialism, capitalism, communism, whatever. But for you to just say that automatically her stuff is a lot, or that it's not palatable, so it's like not able to be given to or understood, is bullshit. It's bullshit. And that's often what women face, especially in the workplace, as we are psychologists that deal with the workplace, that is one of the biggest microaggressions that Black women face. Because they don't only face the oppression of being Black, so they're often seen as aggressors or troublemakers, but then they're also women, so their words are not respected. They're not held to the same level as men. So tone policing is so problematic, and that off rip gives off misogyny, because it's just like, why does her tone have to do with anything that she's saying? Then the next thing he's talking about is, well, you must have grown up in a place that gave you an understanding of these things. Right. You had parents that supported you through this and blah, 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 blah. No Name was a whole capitalist last week, at least like a year ago.
Right.
You know what she did? They dragged her on Twitter. She went online, opened books, and read and changed her mind. That is all she did. Mm-hmm. She did not grow up in shit. She did not have an environment that supported that, because to be completely honest, a lot of Black families are not necessarily in support of the dismantling of capitalism. Mm-hmm. A lot of Black people aren't. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. But the thing is, his whole excuse of that was fucking lazy. Lazy as hell. Because you have the, because there is a level of privilege and accessibility that certain people have to this information. Mm-hmm. But if we're specifically talking about No Name and J. Cole, nigga, you have the same internet. You have the same resources. And what's also crazy about that is the fact that No Name literally has a book club. Mm-hmm. He has a book club explaining these concepts, learning about these concepts with other people. Mm-hmm. All you had to do was sign up and read the books. And boom, it's right there.
Yep.
And lastly, the whole problem that I had, it was just so fucking coddling. And that's another thing. Black men want it fucking to be spoon-fed to them. They want the Spark Notes edition of the revolution. Babe, Black women are not obligated to explain shit to you. If there are literal writings and teachings and understanding, their whole gender studies courses talking about this, their whole African-American studies taught about this, and you can literally go and do your own research. That's a lot of the problem. A lot of the problem is we talk about these things from our experiences and also from these writings and teachings and from scholars back in the day, and then they're just like, oh, this is just how you feel. This is just a personal thing that you're experiencing. And it's like, no. Even if it was something that it's only me experiencing, that doesn't make it any less valid. But also the fact that this has been something that what Black women have been talking about for years, writing about for years, speaking about for years, that a lot of the times that their voices are underrepresented because not only in feminism, but also in the Black space, because they are Black women, because of misogyny noir, misogyny specifically targeted against Black women. And he was just lazy as fuck. That's literally what I got from it. It was just like, nigga, you are a whole 36-year-old. Open a fucking book.
Well, no, not even. Well, yes, all of that. But my thing was like the, how you gonna lead when you attacking the very same niggas that really do need the shit that you saying was just like, I think
that shit was so like tone deaf.
That defensiveness and like you said, the tone policing. But one of the lyrics that made me the most mad was, shit, it's a reason it took like 200 years for our ancestors just to get freed. And that little bar right there is, to me, just as disrespectful as saying, we're not our ancestors, y'all fucked with the wrong generation.
They say that shit all the time.
I tweeted about this on my personal page, but my thing is this. And this is right up the alley with the shit Kanye said, where he was like, well, you know, we was in slavery for 400 years. That sounds like a choice to me. Let me break something down for y'all. What happened in slavery was not just physical. It was mental and it was spiritual. And to be a free human being, you need the autonomy over your spirituality. You need physical safety, and you need to be in an environment that is conducive to your mental health. You sat there and you have these millions of people that are taken from their countries, taken from their own spiritual practices. You give them this new religion. And I'm technically a Christian, so say what you want. I don't really care. But you give them this new religion, and then you whitewash that same religion and say that the Savior looks like them. You cherry-pick the passages about slavery to tell them that they should be enslaved. So you've told these people their gods are false, that they're wrong. If I catch you praying to your God, I'll beat you. You create an environment where they're physically harmed, whipped, put into hot metal boxes in the middle of the sun in the south. And then when they come out, you pour water on them or you pour water in the box. I mean, just so many atrocities that I don't need to name. You buck break them. You do all of these things. And then all of this psychologically reinforces the thought that even though I'm treated poorly, my master is the best one to take care of me, or I can't do anything because my family will be killed. These, even though they're linked to physical actions, they are psychological implications of slavery. So when you have these people, our ancestors, like when you take people and you do that to them, it's not just about, oh, hey, there's a door open, I could walk out of it. It's the psychological fear of what's going to happen to me if I walk out of that door and I'm caught. What's going to happen to my children? I can't actually leave because they're going to find me. God won't let me into heaven. All of these things. So that comment is so abso-fucking-lutely disgusting and disrespectful.
And
I hate it.
And the lyric before it was literally like, shit, like you're saying you're holier than thou and you have to come get us up to speed. That's the reason why it took that 200 years. And just like,
right.
Nigga. What?
I just like this was so bad.
Like I was just was like, and so people really defending it online, saying like he didn't say anything bad. It wasn't even that bad. I was like, did you read the lyrics? Did you hear the same song I heard?
But you know what though? It's like the same people that are saying all of that are the same ones to say, I wouldn't have been no slave for long. I would have ran for freedom. And it's like, would you really? Because right now there's an opportunity to fight for other people's freedom, but you're too busy trying to ascertain the same level of privilege as you see white people with it. You don't want to turn
these
around
are the same
and
niggas,
take metaphorical shackles off of your own people. So
these are the same niggas that talk about fucking reforming the police. These are the same niggas that go and protest and they fucking shucking and jiving in the middle of the street. These are the same
probably the same people hugging cops, honestly.
They're the same ones hugging cops. They're the same ones not blaming the looting and saying that the looting is the problem and they shouldn't be doing that. They should be protesting nicely and shucking and jiving. Like, these are the same people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Y'all talk about you're not your ancestors. Yeah, you definitely aren't. You certainly aren't. Because if they saw the things that y'all were doing, they'd be like, this nigga ain't shit.
I know we're not doing our ancestors anything. Because of what we still do. A lot of us still eat Chick-fil-A. A lot of us still wear Gucci. Yeah. Oh. A lot of us still wear Louis Vuitton. A lot of us still do these things. And I'm calling myself out too because I know about the places that I eat and the luxury things that I want. But that's proof that we're not our ancestors. But we also have to understand how privileged we are that we don't have to be our ancestors.
Exactly.
How much they did so that we have the freedom.
I hate that line. It's so like, fucking
that
insensitive,
line is
honestly.
So disrespectful. Like, you have the audacity, the sheer audacity, because of what they did, we have the privilege that we have.
It was just, that whole thing was just ugly. And again, as I said before, those J. Cole stands, like I was talking about last week, I mean, 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
dumb as fuck. I'm sorry. Dumb as rocks. Mm. Because the thing is, y'all really. And I'm not talking about the one that really addressed it, listened to it, and was like, yo, this actually isn't cool. Besides the fact that being tone deaf, what he actually said was kind of fucked up. I'm talking about the ones that were really like, J. Cole can do no wrong. Y'all are blowing it out of proportion. Y'all are saying this is not this. Y'all are putting meaning to things that aren't there. And it's just like, just read what he said. It's very evident of what he wanted and what he meant. And he even doubled downed on it, saying, I meant every word of the song. So that's literally what he thinks. The same person that's saying he doesn't read is the same one saying, I need you to break this shit down for me. And it's like, okay.
I appreciated those tweets, because he said anything good, but because we got to see how he really feels. And that's the only thing I'll say that I appreciated about them. Because I had a thought, and then I had to really sit with myself and ask myself if I was okay. Because, yeah. But no. I mean, at least we see how he thinks.
I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised in the slightest, because a lot of these times, Black people hold rappers to a certain standard, because if they're talking about Black play or they're talking about fuck the cops or whatever, and then when it's really time to make shit shake, they're quiet. The same ones that, because again, they could be moving in silence, sure. But the thing is, there is power in saying those things out loud as someone who talks about Black issues and someone who raps about it and says, fuck the police and the police are treating us like shit and blah, blah, blah. And then now we're here and you're not saying anything interesting, or, you know, like making it very known that you're like, all these things I said in my song, I'm definitely about it. So what do I need to be doing so I can better prepare myself to go again, mm-hmm. to support things that I'm saying? I'm backing my shit up. They're nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And I just find that very interesting. It's just like, that's exactly why I don't hold rappers to a certain standard, because they'll be like, fuck 12, but then being like, why y'all burning shit down? They'll be like, fuck 12, but then like, I think we should just reform the police. Like, we just need to make a few laws. We just need to get our shit. What did Tina say? We need to get off the streets and stop acting like animals. Bitch, come on. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, so that's one thing. Now, on a happier note, I was not ready for the Supreme Court to actually do their job this week.
Yes, that was.
I was not ready for that. But I'm so thankful because they did rule that LGBTQ plus people cannot be fired. So specifically people who are transgender and people who are gay, or anybody who's not straight, cannot be fired from their job for those reasons. And to get into the technicality, not because you asked, but because I want to go there. But to get into the technicality, it's because in order to discriminate on the basis of someone being a transgender individual, or because of someone being gay, you have to discriminate on the basis of sex and gender, which mm-hmm. are protected under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act.
Come on.
So what that means is, for you to discriminate against somebody who's transgender, you have to say, oh, well, you had a different gender before, but now you're a different gender. Well, you can't discriminate for those reasons, because gender is a protected class.
Yep.
And the same thing for someone being homosexual or lesbian, gay, LGBTQ plus.
Gay, lesbian, trans. I mean, bi.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And yes. But
also, that was great. And then DACA got extended. It didn't get taken out. You know what DACA is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, DACA, the Immigration Act that keeps dreamers in America, basically, to work and go to school and stuff. So Trump was taking that out. Stupid bitch.
And it's really tweeted. I get the sense the Supreme Court doesn't like me. Well, that's not really their job.
It's not their job to like you, bro. Who gives a damn? No, a lot of people don't like you, bro.
But those were things that I was not ready for, but was very happy about, because
that lifted my spirits for sure. I was like,
I was definitely
the world isn't completely here, like, falling apart.
Exactly. And neither of those two laws will change my ability to work or my ability to school in this country. But I take joy because I know that other people have the same protections that I do, and other people deserve that. And I think that's the bottom line that a lot of people don't understand, is like, just because something doesn't benefit you directly doesn't mean that it shouldn't be celebrated and encouraged, because everybody
shouldn't be fought for either.
Just exactly. Because
you don't experience it, or doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you, doesn't mean that it shouldn't be protected.
Yep. Period.
But yeah.
Honestly,
that's pretty much it.
I feel like we can slide into the Zodiac stuff, because I'm not finna. We need to get to it. And I was going off about J. Cole. She was in her Birkin, so we had to let sis. Oh, Lord.
Oh. And also, No Name's response to it. Chef's kiss. We love her.
I still have to listen to that, but I just listened to the Beyonce song before we recorded. So
the Beyonce song was so good.
Don't hurt me.
The Juneteenth. We love you, Beyonce.
I was saying that to Av, not y'all. She be dragging me, so I had to let her know, like, don't do it yet. Let me
drag you for what?
Everything, sis. You read me filth on a regular basis, actually. It's pretty hurtful, but I need to hear
it. Oh my gosh. You're so dramatic.
Anyway. But it's probably a zodiac trait, lo and behold.
It's not. I don't think it is.
All right. So a few basic things. What's a zodiac, you might ask? Well, Patrick, and I'm calling you Patrick because clearly you've been living under a rock. There are 12 zodiac signs. Bro, I don't care. Courtney, I'll pause. Courtney.
That was so fucking corny.
Courtney jokes are my favorite. I don't care.
Goodness.
I don't care. But you laughed, right?
I'm only going to allow it because it was a SpongeBob joke. So that
okay, but
I
you
let it
laughed. But you laughed. Anyway. Is what I'm gathering. Anyway, so there are 12 zodiac signs. And basically, so we're looking at earthsky.org because I know what they are and Av knows what they are, but we want to give y'all some real definitions.
I mean, I think most people know what zodiacs are. It's just like where the stars and the moons align when you were born and give you personality traits, essentially.
Okay, great. Glad you did that because I couldn't have summed it up that quickly. Moving on. So the 12 zodiac signs are, I don't know where to start, so we just going to start with, it's Taurus, Aries, Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, Sagittarius, Scorpios, Libras, Virgos, Leos, Cancers, and Geminis. And I'm realizing I did that backwards.
I was saying, that was completely out of order, but
don't care.
Not even backwards. It was just not even in order. But it's okay.
That's true.
As I said last week, I hope you guys guessed my sign.
Which is
a Libra.
Oh shit, you are a Libra.
I am.
That's why we get along. And that's also why you're so fucking annoying. Wow.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
I would hope so.
I'm the type of annoying that people love though. So
I mean you definitely make my life better. So I can't complain.
So, I mean, that's not my fault. That's not my problem. But yeah. Next. So, I'm a Libra sun. I'm a Leo moon. We're just going to do sun, moon, Mercury, Venus,
and then houses,
stars, and ascending. We don't need to do a houses and Neptunes and Plutos and whatever. That's a lot. So, my sun is a Libra. My moon is a Leo. My Mercury is a Virgo. My Venus and Mars are Scorpios. And my rising is a Cancer. So each like little thing, like moon, sun, rising, all that stuff, they all basically attribute to a different part of your personality, essentially.
So we have some similarities in our chart that I didn't realize.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are you going to explain some of yours or do you not? Or like, what
I mean, you can say yours first and then I can go into a bit.
So my sun sign is Scorpio, but that's no surprise because I'm great. My moon sign is... Shut up. My moon sign is a Leo. My Mercury is a Libra. My Venus is a Scorpio. Do we need to do Mars?
I do Mars.
My Mars is also a Leo. It's hella Scorpio and Leo in my chart. And then my rising sign is a Pisces.
But yeah, all that Leo and Scorpio is the reason why she doesn't stop talking about herself. So that makes a lot of sense.
First of all, I do stop talking about myself, but at the end of the day, I gotta pump myself up because I'm great. And you should pump yourself up too because you're great.
I don't need to do that because I just know I am. So there's no need to defend that out loud.
I just gotta let the people know who they're dealing with. You know, that's all I'm saying.
All right. But yeah, so your son is basically like, where's the little thing? They have little descriptions in here. Oh, not me getting an ad.
Oh, you have to click on it.
No, I know, but I literally got an ad.
Shit. I did too.
Oh my God.
So the sun represents the inner will, the essence, the determination, the conscience, the identity, and the form of expression. The sun sign is the most important area of development.
Oh my fucking gosh. This stupid app is not letting me see it.
Well, she's not letting y'all see it, so I'm going to just read some of this. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it's the determination, inner will, identity from the form of expression, most important area of development. Yes, yes, yes.
That's going to say the same on ours, regardless, because that's the description.
And you're a Scorpio.
Yep.
And I'm a Libra. Honestly, I get along fairly well with a lot of water signs. So, like, each, obviously, most signs have, like, an element to it. Yeah, so Cancers, I believe Pisces and Scorpios.
Scorpio.
Yeah, I get along with almost all of them. I don't think I've ever had a problem with water signs. And I think it's just because I have a lot of water sign in my chart. But
also, I have a lot of Leo in my chart. So that, it's thundering.
Leos are fucking demonic, bro. I'm sorry.
Relax.
They're demonic.
Leos are my favorite. Oh, they're some of my favorites. And this Leos and Cancers. But we'll get to that segment.
And this is coming from someone who has Leo in their chart. And I feel like I'm like incognito because I feel like Leos come to me and they're like attracted to me. Yet they're like, you're a little bit different from us, but I like you still. That's what I always feel because my mother is a Leo. Like, fire signs are the most obnoxious, yet I always end up being with them. But my mother is a Leo. My best friend's a Leo. My boyfriend's a Leo. And then a few other of my friends are also Leos.
Oh, your boyfriend's a Leo?
My boyfriend is a Leo. Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that. Isn't he also from New York?
The stress.
Oh my God.
From New York.
Jesus, that's bro. The devil walking. Charisse, I'm sorry if you hear this. I love you. My best friend is a Leo from New York. That shit, like in a man. Oh my God, that's probably the worst.
Yeah, I mean, love my dad.
Fuck.
But
yeah, now I see why.
Ooh. Yeah. It's like that. He just knows exactly how to get on my nerve. That just makes me wanna
place to pick.
I just wanna punch him sometime. Love him to death, but he's just, ooh. And then my other Leo friend is just like, ooh, girl. It's okay for it to not be about you. It's all right. They definitely do say that, like, they talk about themselves a lot. And it's like, yeah, Leos definitely do that. And it's almost, like, unintentional. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, talk about yourself again. That's fine. Like, you start your conversation off about yourself, and then somehow it ends up about them, and you're just like, don't know how I got here. But all right. That's 100% a fucking fact. But yeah. And then my moon being in Leo is just very interesting.
So the moon represents the reactions and emotional habits. The house where the moon is describes the area in which emotions are aroused. All right.
Woo! I heard that.
The sign where the moon is defines the nature of your emotional reactions.
And for that to be a Leo, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I see that in me.
Oh, wait, your moon is a Leo too? Oh, that's where the similarities are. Okay.
Yes. We express ourselves very similarly.
Yes. For better or for worse.
Yeah. And, like, that makes a lot of sense. Because it's just like, I am so prideful. Like, when it comes to me, like, expressing myself, I'm very much like, I said what I said. I know what I said and I meant it. I have evidence to back it up. Don't play me.
I'd be like, don't ask me to apologize because I'm not. I was right. Don't be upset.
Yup.
Or.
But I feel like just my.
I really had to unlearn that pride piece. Like, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not do everything yourself. It's okay to not be superwoman. So unlearning some of that pride is hard. But it's necessary work.
And I think that's why, like, by Libra, like, when I feel like my Libra complements my Leo moon very well, because I'll get super prideful and be, like, hella defensive and, like, I don't want to hear that shit. That's not it. I said what I said. And then my Libra will be, like, relax.
Yeah, no. The Scorpio sun to me is definitely reserved. It's, like, just hold your cards. Like, that's one thing that I'm good at. I don't necessarily have to come off with, like, well, this, and this. Because I do take pride in myself, but there's also the form of, like, unless I'm in, like, an interview or a setting where I need to, I'm not gonna say everything I do or brag on myself in that way. If it comes up in conversation or if, like, we're saying, well, what do you do or what have you done? Then it comes up. But yeah.
No, I think it's just that as much as I am very, like, fiery and, like, kind of emotionally, like, a little crazy, I think I just also have a lot of introspection. And because of that introspection, it allows me to be like, all right, girl, I know you were loud. You said all that stuff, but you were wrong. Yep. Like, I really be sitting there and I'm just like bubbling oil over, and I'm just, and in my head, I'm just like, girl, you were wrong. Just take the L. It's fine. You're going to get over it. It's okay. It's okay. So then Mercury goes into more of like communication.
Yep.
And the Mercury in Virgo drags. That's why everybody thinks I'm dragging them. It's the Virgo. I know it is.
So it represents your intellect, your reason, your logic, and the concrete and rational mind. And so what is the description of Mercury for you?
So for me, it is very logical, like analytical, and it's overly Mercury critical. What now? Huh?
It's Mercury in Libra?
No, Virgo.
Ah.
So my Virgo is very analytical, and that's why, like, when I talk, it's very much like in order, very insightful, like as rational as possible. I try to be as objective as possible. Sometimes I speak from emotion, obviously, when I'm talking about personal stuff, but usually when I'm speaking, it's very much like, well, you could have just did this. That's why you always think, bro, I'm dragging you.
And it's like, the drag is, no, y'all don't understand. She's saying this right now, but I'll talk to her like, yeah, I don't know. And maybe I should do this, or, well, I thought this. And she's like, or follow me. You could just X, Y, Z. And I'm like, first of all, I don't like you. Second of all, that's not a bad idea.
No, the way my friends always say that, you know, Avril, I don't like the tone of your good ideas. And I'm just like,
no, it's the tone. It's 110% the tone. And this is not tone policing, because I'm the one that gets bullied. But it's like,
no, honestly,
it's not that what she says is bad, because she says great stuff. It's how she says it, because she says it to you in a way that's like, well, damn, you didn't think of that yourself, jackass. Or like, why are you making your life harder?
So it's really the why are you making your life harder thing. Because sometimes people explain stuff to me, like, I'm like a very good soundboard, so like people will say stuff to me and I'm very good to like bounce ideas off of. So like they'll be saying stuff to me and I was like, but why didn't you think of this? Or like, did you think about how this could have affected this and how it ended up like that because you thought of this? Like, because in my brain, I'm the person that thinks like 47 steps ahead. Like, I have plan A through triple Z, you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, like, if this doesn't work out, I could also be doing this. And if that doesn't work out and it turns into this, I can end up doing that. And then while I'm there, I could also pick up this. And that's how my brain works. So when my friends say stuff to me, I'm just like, okay, she started off like this, but she could have been doing that and went from there. She could have gone there and then ended up here. So I'm just like, well, why didn't you just do this, this, and this? And they're just like, how did you think of all of that so fast? Listen. And they're just like, why are you dragging? And I was like, I'm not dragging. I was just saying it's a suggestion.
Bro, nah. The Mercury in Libra for me is a drag. And let me tell you where the drag really comes in. Fair, logical, strategic, critical, and indecisive is the drag. Because it's like, I have to catch myself, because sometimes I'm extremely critical about certain things and I just don't care. But then I'm like indecisive on how to make certain decisions. And it's like, I'll have made my mind up low-key, but I'm still indecisive as hell. And it sucks. And then it goes on to say, Mercury in Libra sees every side of an argument, but it depends on others' opinion. And that's something that sometimes I hate, because it's like, I can't fully be mad at somebody because I see their side of it.
You definitely play devil's advocate. Like you don't play devil's advocate like if there's something racist happening, you're like, well, the white man could have done blah, blah, blah. No, you don't do that. But like you see other people's perspective, even if that perspective is kind of jaded. Like, I remember you like liked a tweet, or you said something about a tweet. Like, the tweet was saying something about how, like, one of those stupid ass tweets where it's like, would you let your girl go outside like this or whatever, that, right?
Yes, yeah. Somebody else.
And then the tweet was like, I know, I read the whole thread. The tweet, because I was like, girl, don't let me drag you on here. You're my partner. I can't drag you on here. But then the tweet said, and it wasn't that he was like, I personally wouldn't date someone that dressed like that. I would just date someone else. He literally said, I personally just wouldn't date someone who would ever think to leave the house like that. And your tweet was just like, see, it's that simple. And I was like, B, babe.
You're not the only one who got mad at that. And for me, let me explain. So the first tweet was a picture of a guy and a girl. The girl had on, all right, the sky is going
up. It's turning up.
It's turning up. But basically, the girl was wearing these denim shorts that had most of her ass out. And it was her and a guy. And then the tweet that tweeted that picture, it was that picture. And then it said, fellas, would you let your woman leave the house like this? Or something like that. And so the guy quote tweeted it and said, I don't like when women dress like this, so I would never date a woman who would even think of leaving the house like this. And to me, it's that simple. But let me explain. Yes, there's still like some misogyny in that and all that. But my thing is this. Some women, and what I said was, because somebody was like, isn't that still misogyny though? And I was like, yes, it is, but it's better to date a woman who prefers to cover up for her own reasons. And to me, it's like, okay, why would I, and I think where the guy was going with that was, why would I date a woman who likes to reveal herself? Not that that's negative, but like, why would I date a woman who likes to show off her body if I don't like that in a partner? Like, instead of dating someone who does that and trying to change them, I could just date someone who chooses to be more conservative for their own feelings.
Right.
I get that. That's right. Where I think he was going. And to me, that's very simple. However,
yeah,
the other side.
It was the that way any that woman written was should. Very condescending.
It was. And the thing is, like, I saw it. Like, I saw where he was going and what he meant. And I think that's why I personally was like, all right, that's simple. Because I get what he meant. However, it was still steeped in misogyny. And it's like, women do grow and change. And it's like, a few years ago, like, if you asked me something like in my freshman year of college, would I wear something? By my senior year, I was wearing it. And right. Like, titties out, ass out, don't care. Like, as much pain as these tits cost me, like, you finna see them. You are finna see them.
Yeah.
But I get that. So, like, to Av's point, yes, it's like people, I think, sometimes might get offended by how I can see what other people say or what other people mean. And it's like, just follow me or, like, ask me for some clarification and I'll tell you. But, yeah. Like, for me, that just made sense.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, our understanding of, like, communication is very different because, like, the way you even processed that was very different from how I processed it. Because first off, I hate tweets like that. First off, yeah. You don't tell a grown-ass woman to wear anything she doesn't want to wear. If you don't want to date her, fine. Don't date her. It's literally that simple. It's not really even a response.
Exactly. That was my point right there.
But that's what I'm saying. That's not even a conversation that needs to be had because, fellas, would you let your woman leave the house like this? Babe, she could walk out the house however she wants. She's a grown woman. Right. She's not your pet. So I don't even know why that question keeps coming up. And it comes up like every 2 months on Twitter. It's stupid. But the response was problematic because of like, because I'm like reading between the lines as to what that thing was saying. Because he wasn't just saying, I wouldn't necessarily date someone that would dress like that. I would just date someone else. And I don't control what she wears. So if I just don't want someone dressing like that, I just won't date someone that dressed like that. Fine.
And that's what I got from it.
When I read it, it was like, I would never date someone that would leave the house like that. There is shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a level of like that person dressing like that being attached to me is embarrassing.
Right, it's like less desirable.
Less desirable.
That's embarrassing.
Like, right, like why would shows she that you don't respect me? Like that?
There's so much patriarchy and misogyny steeped in those tweets. Like I saw where the guy was going, but again, this is what we say: a lot of men, y'all have that internalized misogyny, even though you perpetuate it, you internalize it. So that I think that's something that causes a lot of y'all to think that way. Is it an excuse? No, unlearn that shit. Unpack that shit.
Unpack it.
For purposes of this conversation, that's what we're saying.
Right, because for me, it's not like I was, like, viscerally angry, but I was, like, that's the type of, like, misogyny and, like, the type of subconscious violence that could come about when you're not thinking about it. Yep. So I'm not sitting here saying that dude's a dick, he fucking sucks, this is blah, 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 but for you to not, for me, as someone who understands misogyny and how it manifests in different ways, And to read that, I was like, this is not just, I would rather date someone else because I don't necessarily like the way she dresses. It's not really my thing. Right. I did someone else. It didn't come off like that. It came off like people like dressed like that. I would never even associate myself with them because they're doing X, Y, and Z. And because that style of dress, especially on a Black woman, could attribute to X, Y, and Z. And I don't want that to be associated with me because my woman, again, is related to status. And, you know, it manifests in very different ways. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the way language is important, people. The words you choose to say to describe certain things and how you say certain things matters. Don't just sit here and start defending people and say, nah, it wasn't that deep. They didn't mean it like that. It was like, what did they say? I'm reading directly what they said. I'm not twisting and interpreting in some way that's completely out of line. I'm reading exactly what he said and then adding context to it. That's it. But people like to say, oh, you're twisting and changing. No. But yeah, that's just how my brain works. I'm very much like, Virgo makes sense. So, ooh, now we got to get into love.
Jesus.
And my Venus being in Scorpio. And like, you know.
My Venus is also in Scorpio.
What is going on? Ew. I don't like
that. Ew, don't ew me. Girl, ew you.
Ew.
That's why we're so head ass together. It makes sense.
And I mean, probably why we have similar boyfriends. Yeah.
Yes.
Because like I see a lot of my boyfriend and your boyfriend.
Yeah, sometimes you tell me what Malik does and I'm like, Henry would do that. Henry would say that.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah.
He's an Aquarius. So anyway, we'll get into that. Maybe I'll make him do his chart so I can read through it. It's probably a bunch of Leo in there too.
I tried to get him to do my boyfriend to do his, and he was just like, nah, that means I have to get my birth certificate. That's too much work. I'm like, oh, brother, I'm trying to have fun here with you, and you're ruining it. Right. But yeah, it's just being sensual, passionate, very
faithful. Power of attraction. How we seek love and partnerships, either on the physical level or the social level.
Emotional desire in Scorpio. Intensity and drama. And drama. Dog. That is so funny.
The way. I can't. Because anybody who actually knows me could get a sense of it. Because it's like, once you know me outside of work or class, like even one conversation, you get the sense that like, I'm a little extra. But when you really get to know me,
yeah, because
the drama comes out.
Yeah, because I don't think it does speak specifically about partnership, like your relationship, but I think it could also manifest in your friendships as well, because
oh, it does.
You can't get super close with someone without feeling some of that like intenseness. I can definitely be intense.
Mm-hmm. You can?
I
can. Oh, mm-hmm. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Never saw that coming.
I know, it seems a little crazy, but I definitely can. And sometimes I do need to reel it back.
Nah, I get very intense, like very quickly sometimes. And I think like my shout out to my boyfriend. I never want to be one of those people that brings up their boyfriend all the time, but I just know I be putting him through the ringer.
God. The way if we have our boyfriends on this fucking podcast, they're going to expose the shit out of us. It's going to be so bad.
Oh my God.
That's going to be the only podcast that has like full on structure, because those niggas will get out of line and start getting disrespectful in here.
And then they'll probably start dragging us together, because I'm sure we do some of the same things. And they'll be like, just turn into some.
And then it's just a drag. And we didn't sign up for that.
Bruh. But nah. So the description of Venus and Scorpio. Passionate, greedy, jealous, erotic, manipulative, and faithful. Venus in Scorpio is always falling in love and is attracted by seductive and shady types. And let me just say, the shady types is why I have so many horror stories.
That's for sure you.
Y'all, that's going to be a different podcast where we talk about dating, because I am definitely retired now. I'm coaching. But let me tell y'all, when I was playing the game, baby.
Babe, I wasn't even in the game. Because I think
let's
in the beginning, I would like have crushes on people very intensely. Like I'll have crushes and then fall out, mm-hmm. and I have crushes and fall out. But then when I was actually like in the dating thing, I couldn't commit for shit. I was like, no thanks, I'm good. Like my boyfriend is the first person I ever actually committed to, and I was like, oh okay, I guess I'm in this now. So, but I am very faithful and very intense. So
the passionate, greedy, and jealous. Them three right there.
Drag.
Because drag. Like the greed, I will really sit there and be like so upset. Like I could send it to my boyfriend. Well, quarantine has changed things because now I see this man all day, every day. And I just be like, all right, I'm gonna go sit on this side of the house all day. I'll see you later. And not want to text him, talk to him. But under normal circumstances, it's like I'm greedy. Like, you can't just kiss me once. That's rude. I don't care if you kiss me on the
floor. Literally.
I don't care if you kiss me on the cheek. I want all of the affection. All of it.
Same.
The jealous.
Same.
All right. I'm exposing myself right now. But the way that I be like, so my boyfriend and I had first started dating. And we were in college. And one of his friends had a probate. So afterwards, we got separated. My best friend was there. And like, I heard this girl talking about like, oh, let's go say hey to so-and-so. So I just watched from a distance because I really needed to see, like, that might speak to how crazy I am. But I really needed to see how it unfolded. Don't roll your eyes because you have to give your partner a chance to like
prove themselves.
Prove not only themselves, but like you need to see how they act when you're not right up under them.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, I was pleased with what I saw, but it was like moments like that teach me that I am jealous. And I don't think that's a bad thing as long as you know, you watch it, because like, I'm definitely not a control freak. Like I've told my partner, I want him to have women friends that are women. And I think that it's important for him to have those kind of relationships because I should not be the only woman in my boyfriend's life. I should be the most important next to his mother and sister and niece, like next to his family. Outside of his family, I should be the most important woman in his life. But I should not be the only non-family member who's a woman in his life. Right. Like, I shouldn't be that. And right. So,
agreed.
You have to learn that balance.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm definitely greedy. I'm definitely greedy with my affection. I be asking that nigga for kisses all the time. He hates it.
I see I don't that. Care.
Manipulative. I could definitely see that too, but
I could be that. I think it's more so like the potential is there.
Yeah, and but what was the other one?
Passionate.
Passionate. Yeah, but moving on to Mars. Also a drag. It's just not fair.
Your Mars is in what now?
My Mars is also in Scorpio.
Mine's in Leo.
The description is powerfully assertive. And if that doesn't,
doesn't
even describe literally what was just happening with the J. Cole thing, I don't know what does.
But you know, the thing is, mine is dramatically assertive.
Yo! They're steady dragging you. That's a fucking fact. Dramatic. Yup. Yup, eat her up. Come on, stars. Eat her up because you're telling the truth.
The dramatically assertive. So the Mars description is that Mars represents the action, energy, achievement, independence, and the desire to be honest. The sign where Mars is describes how the person says and takes initiative.
And it also so kind of attributes to how you manifest anger, like how you communicate anger too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yikes. Oh, yeah. My God, this drag. Let's go ahead and read yours.
Yeah, so mine was assertive, powerfully assertive. So it does have a description of, like, uncontrollable. Oh, drag. See that? attractive. What the? Not my mom yelling. Jealous, energetic. Mars and Scorpio crushes the opposition and is attracted to mysterious partners. I don't know about this mysterious partners though, but crushes the opposition definitely makes sense.
Well, that sounds like you all the time.
I am fully ready to stomp out any opponent at any time. Fully ready. Oh,
that's the sad thing. It's like people, I've seen people like try to like take on Av in a sense. And let me just say, it doesn't end well. I can't tell y'all what I'm talking about now, but I might have to text it to you. So
I was about to say, I don't even think I remember this, but
you don't. My assertive manner in Leo is dramatically assertive, which is no surprise to anybody who knows me. So the description is self-confident, creative, which I don't know if I see, but okay. I guess
we're literally doing a podcast. That's creative.
That's true. So self-confident, creative, strong, proud, irritable, and arrogant. Mars irritable. And Leo.
Emphasize that one. Next.
Mars and Leo requires priority and is attracted to power.
Priority and irritable are the two words that stood out to me the most.
Bro, like, I need you to explain why you think that irritable stands out to you.
Because the thing is, you're the type of person where, like, you're pretty mellow. Well, dramatic, but mellow. But I feel like when you get irritable, it's all over your face. Very telling. I can, like, I already know when something is wrong. I can tell through text when something's wrong with you. Like,
it's so bad. It seeps out really, really bad. Like, people, I do not have the ability to have a poker face. Like,
at all.
Stay out of my way. Because I am a nice person and I'm usually in a pretty good mood. But if you have pissed me off,
yeah, it's a wrap.
Or if you're around me when I'm pissed, stay out of my way. I won't even talk to people.
Right.
Like, if I'm irritated or something, hey, how you doing? And be about myself. I will move away from you. I will just be alone and let off steam. Because being around me can make other people mad if I'm mad. And it, don't ask me why, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I see it. I definitely, that makes a lot of sense to me. As someone who's seen you very irritable. And, like, when I've seen you when you're, like, upset. And that's why I, like, manifest, like, when you're angry. Or, like, upset, like, how that comes out. And I'm just like, yeah, that sounds about right. And when I'm angry, I'm fully ready to, like, rip heads off. Like,
bro, when have you seen me angry, though?
Not, like, angry, but, like, just upset. And the thing is, when you're upset, you're not the type of person that'll, like, spaz on someone that's upset initially. And that depends on the situation as well. But I've seen you when you're upset. And you're just, like, you're there. Like, I could tell on your face. It's written on your face, though. And I'm just like, oh, no, I'm not fucking with her today. I'm going to say my hi-bye, do a little chuckle, and then we're going to keep it pushing because I'm not having to rip someone's head off in the middle of the street. Like, that's going to be a problem.
But no, like, that's the thing. I stay away from people. But I do require priority. Like, if you want me in your life, make me a priority. And that was, this one isn't underdated, but that was a big thing for me when I did date. Or when I was dating around and before I was in a relationship. And even with friendships to a degree, like, we're grown and I don't expect you to check on me every day or even every week. Right. But I do expect there to be some level of something.
Right. I understand that. All right. Last one. We're going to move quickly because I know we're getting over time a bit. Honestly, we're going to pass time and we're going to keep going. I don't give a damn.
But y'all, you
keep
know listening. It's free. We ain't paying for nothing. Facts. So it is what it is. Now, rising signs. So your rising sign, the ascendant is calculated from the time of birth and indicates the sign that was on the horizon at the exact moment that the baby took his first breath. Excuse me. It influences the physical body and appearance, the persona, and shows how we present ourselves to the outside world.
So the rising sign is interesting.
What's yours? Because
I'm a Cancer.
That's the other reason I like you so much. I love Cancers.
And then you're a Pisces?
Pisces.
Shout out to my Pisces friend. I love her.
Yeah.
But, so we're both water sign. Interesting.
This is making more sense and kind of freaky, but all right.
Yeah, it's almost a little weird at this point. But we have too many similar signs and too many similar elements in the same thing.
It's a lot.
It's getting weird. But the thing is, interesting because it says how you present yourself to the outside world. I don't know if I really present myself as a very caring person. Because, like, essentially the description, it's a long one. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But it essentially says I'm very caring, very gentle, very, like, emotionally inept. And they want structure in their life, very emotional, but also can be very practical and matter of fact when it comes to certain situations that they're passionate about, which I do understand. And I do see that within my own life. And granted, we're not saying that we believe every single thing that horoscopes or zodiacs are saying, but we're just saying, like, right, if we're attributing to it, like, how accurate it could be. And I definitely do feel
that. Accurate. I don't do the daily horoscopes, but overall, I think everything we said is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, girl, when I first read this, I was like, baby, scared. These niggas ain't playing. These little star things, scared. They're not playing.
At all.
They're dragging, Mo. But yeah, I don't think I present myself very soft. I don't know if I ever come off super kind. I think I come off very, like, charismatic. Kind of very social, very open, because I feel like the Libra kind of touches in that. I feel like I do get, when I get very deep in the relationship with my friends or my family or my boyfriend, I can be very caring. And I am very emotionally attached. And I feel them. So, like, if they're going through something, mm-hmm, I very much feel it. Like,
that's
it
the worst.
Like if something doesn't go right for someone I know, or if they're in a shitty situation, I get very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard for me to snap myself out of that sometimes. And I even feel it sometimes for even strangers. I can be very emotionally attached to people I see similarities in. So if I see, like, a dark-skinned woman going through something, if I see just any type of person that I could relate to, like someone in my age group going through something, like I just am very emotionally I'm very emotionally aware. And again, because I'm so analytical, I'm thinking about how that person is struggling and how that has manifested in different ways and how that oppression or struggle or issue comes about. So I think about all aspects of that, and that really fucks with me. So that's why I think a lot of people think I'm very caring, because I'm very willing to help as much as I can. And I'm very, very much the person that when shit hits the fan, 9 times out of 10 people are calling me. I'll mm-hmm. complain. I'll be upset. I don't want to do it. But they know they can call me because I'll be there. So it's just, I definitely do see it. I think it's just the fact that I don't see it as my outside persona. I feel like my outside persona is very jokey, does school, but is on games. But I feel like when you get to, like, the more intimate parts of me, that's when the caring part comes out. I don't know if I necessarily care, but that's more from your perspective, because I don't know, when you first met me, did you think I was super caring or?
So that's what I was going to say. Like, when you, I think everything you described is how I feel about you now, or even when we first started to be friends and, like, we right. really started having real conversations with each other and not just the, oh yeah, like, the homework was hard, man, read it.
Right.
But, like, first meeting you, you don't see, okay, I'll say this, you don't put off any negative energy, like, whatsoever. Like, there's no standoffishness, there's no, like, ego, but you're very, like, neutral to, like, leave me alone. Like, it's almost like you're just there.
Yeah. But
then there's, like, the RBF. And so, it's like, you're kind of just there, and it's like, because you have no vibe, like, I tried to figure you out, and I was like, I don't know how to take this girl, because she doesn't give off anything. She's just right. kind of neutral.
Yeah. No, that's so true. That's very true. That's how I see myself, honestly. Because literally, if I'm in a place, say I'm in a place, like, I'm sitting at the MVA or something, I'm just chilling. Like, my face is very straight. Well, I guess if I have resting bitch face, but I don't think I necessarily come off like I have resting bitch face all the time, because I look like a toddler in the face. So,
oh my god, her face is adorable.
It's not like people necessarily find me intimidating or anything. I mean, it could be because, you know, stereotypes, but no one has ever said to me that I necessarily have resting bitch face, but I do come off very, very neutral. Like, I don't give off an energy like standoffish. I don't give off an energy that's very like, oh, come and sit next to me and talk to me. Like, I'm very much just sitting there, existing. And then the only time people really get to see my personality is, like, either when a conversation happens or something funny happens. Because I feel like once someone sees me, like, laugh and start cracking jokes, that's when they're like, oh, this is yep. who she, that's how she acts. Because I think the neutral thing is very, very true. I think I've gotten that more often. Because it's not like people think that I'm mean, but like when they first meet me, they're just like, I don't know how to really feel about you. Like, I don't know how to feel about you, and I don't know what she's thinking. Like, I don't know how she feels about me. And that's why people sometimes think that that I didn't like them, but it's not because I didn't like them. It's just like I didn't have anything to say. I didn't have any emotion towards you. So, but I think that's super, super true. That definitely happens. And then they get to know me and they're like, oh, she's just a bundle of jokes.
Bro.
Light along.
Like, you're literally walking jokes and like militant defiance.
Yeah.
It's like, and then like, I don't know. It's like, it's a lot. Like, you're literally like walking jokes, militant defiance, and like a whole heap of like caring and like understanding. Cause there's always like the, how are you feeling? And like the, how are you really feeling? Like, most people ask you how you're doing, but Ab will text me and it's like, how are you really feeling? How are you doing? And it's like, she doesn't even say really, but I like, I get the vibe from her and I'm like, damn. Like, the other day I was having a rough day and sis was like, how are you doing? And honestly, I almost cried just because she asked. Like, it was a lot. Yeah, man, I'm a bucket of water waiting to tip over. Like, boy. I cry easy. I think crying is so healthy. But no, so my rising sign in Pisces, some of this, I really feel like some of this is true and some of this isn't. I'm gonna have to screenshot and send it to you because I'm not reading the whole thing.
Yeah, just give us a synopsis because we still have to go over how we feel.
So this kind of says that they like to go with the flow, and sometimes I do, but that's not really true.
That's not really your personality.
Like, that's very rare that I do that. And right. Now, there is part of it that says, in a partner, they need someone who's realistic and practical. Because, baby,
that's true. That is true. Oh my god, that is fucking true. Girl. Yeah. I need that a lot.
And then it says they are very emotional and compassionate. So much that they can become their own victims due to their massive vulnerability. We're not gonna talk about that. But yeah, it's saying, just
what, like, part of this isn't true again?
Girl, it was like there was a paragraph that I skipped. But then there's part of it that's like they're generous, sensitive, and sentimental. And that's pretty true because it's like I have a tough time sometimes, like seeing other people. And especially when I was younger, I would really wonder why other people had to go through things. And then
it's
this
the,
one.
Some it's the sentimental to me. The sentimental is very true.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm really a sap. Don't let nobody tell y'all otherwise.
Cause... Yeah. Because, like, just the stories that you tell about how certain people do things to certain, like, do things to you, but the fact that you're like, but they're still my best friend, or they're still like my sibling, or they're still my whatever, like there's a lot of sentiment in that. So I was just like, yeah, that's very true.
yeah, it's a lot. Some may see Pisces rising as someone to take advantage of because they are so open and compassionate.
I'm dragging the shit out of you.
Y'all, if you ever want to get dragged, just download this app, because
girl, they just dragged the shit out of you.
Yo,
you really sat here and said that. I'm not sure how some of this is true. Girl,
I wish I gotta tell you what wasn't true later. But then it says they are sensitive to negative energy and criticism. It is difficult to shield themselves from either one. That was pretty much the realest part of that, and that was the drag.
That was a full-fledged dog. That summed up me understanding who you were in like 5 months of meeting you.
Yes.
Dude, that was a fucking drag. So what part of it wasn't true besides the going with the flow? I don't think that's true.
So like the first part of it was talking about going with the flow. And then there was like, they appear to be at first glance to be gentle, peace loving, artistic types, but the way they keep their hearts and mind opens, keeps them changeable and unpredictable. And I don't know if I would agree with all of that, because like I'm very peaceful, but I'm also very passionate. So like you can tell that I'm not somebody who wants like a lot of violence, but it's weird. And then there was a part where they can seem to be a different person today than they were yesterday. And I'm like, I'm pretty much the same hot mess every day.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's the usually shy and quiet.
Oh, that's not true.
Tomorrow they may be passionate and exuberant. No, I'm never shy or quiet. I'm reserved if I don't know you.
Yeah, I think you can be reserved.
But shy and quiet are two words that I would never
absolutely
define
not.
Myself.
Yeah, no.
And then there was like, they're very impressionable, like the sand in the water. They are dreamy and soft-hearted. And I was like, I don't really know what that means.
Well, yeah, that's a bit abstract. But I guess, yeah, that's why, you know, horoscopes and, I mean, zodiacs can be, like, very interpretable. And then you just start attaching things to it and stuff. Because I could see that for you in the sense where it was, like, you seeing the other side of people, like, being very, like, again, not necessarily playing devil's advocate, but you can understand people's perspective without, like, having to, like, drag. And the soft part of it is easy, too, because it's, like, you are very caring. Like, this girl literally brought me breakfast yesterday, like for no reason. She literally woke up and was just at the place and was just like, hey, you want something? And I was like, keep in mind, TMI, but I don't give a damn. I was fully on my period and I was on the brink of tears just waking up and existing. And she texted me that and I was like, well, this is it. She's just elevated herself in my friendship.
Oh, that's so sweet. But no, I just woke up and I was leaving and nobody else was up in my house, and then nobody else wanted anything, and I was just like, what's Av doing? And I really felt for you Monday, but yesterday I was just like, maybe she's going through, you were just really on my heart, and I was like, what's this girl going through?
That's so weird. Our friendship is fucking weird. Like, why are we so close in such a short period of time? I think it's because it probably is because of all our fucking zodiacs lighting up like this. We just bounce off each other very easily to the point where it's scary, because again, we've not even known each other for a year,
not even a full year.
Not even
was
a
like,
full
I don't know
year.
If I could take being around both of y'all at the same time, and that's how I knew.
But yeah, let us know if you find those things accurate, if you think it's not accurate, just based off of what you've heard, or if you are close friends with one of us and you're just like, yeah, bitch, they read the shit out you.
Yeah,
or not.
Let us know.
But yeah, contact us and keep up with us either through our email that's linked in the bio, or go to
imnotreadypod@gmail.com.
Or you can go to the I'm Not Ready Pod Twitter. And we're going to do a quick little last segment, because I know we're definitely running over time.
I mean, honestly, we're over time, but y'all can pause and listen to it. I mean, it's not like we're paying for studio time. Thank God for technology in the year 2020.
Plus, we started talking a lot, and we were like, if we only stick to an hour, we're not going to get to the whole thing. So we're going to fucking do it. So now we're going to do most likely and least likely to. So we have questions here, and we're going to immediately say our first thought and give a bit of an explanation. We're not going to take too long. We're going to do like maybe 5 to 10. All right.
Okay. Most likely, or what? That is... Oh, okay. Who's the most likely to be popular in high school? That's a terrible question.
Or actually, you know what we should do? We should do each other. Like, we should do most likely to between us.
Oh, yes.
That's funny.
Oh, God. So which one of us is most likely to be popular in high school? That's the question.
You.
Really?
Yes.
I'm just friendly. That's really it. If I'm ever popular somewhere, it's literally just because I'm a friendly person.
It'd be you. But that's because I feel like you'd be popular because you participate and go out of your way to do multiple things. My ass would be...
Okay, that's what I'd be talking about, y'all. That was a drag. Because in college, oh my God.
Like, you're just popular because literally everyone knows you, because you're literally in every fucking thing. I would not be popular. Ever. Ever.
Yeah,
like, I'm the type of person that people know about me. Like, when I was in high school, I never stuck with a specific group of people. I always floated. Like, I had my core friend group, but like, I was never ashamed to talk to anybody. So everyone knew who I was. Like, people would ask, like, my friends would talk to other people and they'd be like, Avril, and they'd be like, yeah, I know who she is. Like, even without necessarily being close friends with me, they just all know who I am. So they knew me, but I was never popular. Absolutely not. And I wasn't even popular in college. I stayed in my fucking room.
You know why? Because you be out the way, because you be on shenanigans, and you like to do your shenanigans in private.
Facts. I like doing,
which is really just turning up.
I like doing shenanigans with people I know, though. That's why.
Yes. So who's most likely out of us to be a control freak?
You. Easy.
Yikes. I wasn't going to say it. I was hoping you didn't say it, but it's definitely me. Like, I can't even lie on that.
That's easy.
It's bad.
Okay. Most likely to be protective over their friends and family. This is a hard one.
Oh, God. I think it depends on, like, how you mean protective, because
right.
Off rip, I'm very much
I know I would want to have person. You in a fight on my side. And our Barcelona trip proved that. Oh, God. Immensely.
Oh,
we're going to have to do a story time on when we went to Barcelona together, but that proves it alone.
Long story short, I'm not a fighter. Okay, well, my boyfriend doesn't agree with that. I don't get into fights. I will fight if I have to, but I've never been a person to fight in school or anything.
You got that Georgia strength, that Southern
one
strength.
One of our classmates rolled up to me in Barcelona, and we're already looking for pickpocketers, and we're outside of a tourist attraction in a big group looking like tourists, and I had never had class with her. So she's running up to me. She's screaming something like, bah! And I don't know her voice yet. So I get ready to punch the shit out of this girl because I'm like, who is this impeding on my safety? That's it. If you put me in a situation where I don't feel safe, I will be ready to swing because I hate that feeling. That's literally all it was.
Protective doesn't necessarily mean fight. I think it's just like who's most protective of their friends and family.
Well, it's because you said you wanted me on your side in a fight. That's the only reason.
That is true. I would. But I think it's also just like, you know, I think both of us are very protective of our family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like the difference is I'm more loud and protective. I was more reserved and protective. Like, if we're both sitting in a room and somebody's talking about somebody we love, or like if it's a family thing going off, I would only assume that like I was the one that's going to be there and she's going to be neutral until she's not. From right. the jump, I'm going to be like, all right, we're not doing this.
You know what it is? It's like if someone was getting attacked by someone else, mm-hmm. most likely Drika would be the one to be yelling at the person. And I would probably be the one comforting the person. Like, I would be more likely.
Oh, facts.
I would be more likely to be like, it's okay. You're fine. That person's a dumb bitch. You don't have to do anything to them. It's okay. Like, you don't even have to bother with them. You're going to be safe. We're here. We got you. And Drika will fully be spazzing on niggas. Like,
that sounds that about I right, can actually. See. That, so I feel that's like, probably the perfect way to explain that.
Yeah, I feel like that's more of how it would manifest.
Yes.
Yeah, I would never classify myself as a fighter. I'm squishy and soft, so I can cuss you out, but that's as far as my protection goes.
Oh my God. But no, most likely to easily put their trust in you.
You.
Yikes.
You.
Yeah. I'm not super easily trusting, but I definitely, out of the two of us, am the one that's more likely to do that. Yeah, most likely to be seen as tough on the outside, but they're fragile on the inside.
Why are these all dragging you?
Yo, shut up.
None of these are me. But going back to the last one, what was the last one again? I forgot.
It was most likely to put their trust in you easily.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, I have, like, I feel like I have a gauge in me, like an ain't shit gauge. Like, I can mm-hmm. My intuition is very well. A lot of my friends can attest to it. Like, when I find out, like, when I get a vibe I don't like someone, my vibe has never been wrong.
Yeah.
So, it's very hard for me to trust, like, if I meet you and I fuck with you, then I'll trust you, and then, yeah, but for me to get to that point off rip, you have to get past my ain't shit senses. If those are going off, absolutely not. But yeah, it's you. Mm. Most likely to be really quiet when you first meet them. That's definitely me.
I was gonna say, that is you 100%. Most likely to laugh at your joke. That's me. That's me off rip.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it could be me too. Well,
most if likely. It's a corny joke, it's me. No, you know, we're tied for that because
I think so. Because I think maybe it's like, because I'm the type of person that laughs about stuff later.
Yo,
someone said something funny, and then I think about it in the car, and I'm dying.
Yeah. I'll think about something funny in the middle of an exam, and that's the worst.
Bust out laughing. Yeah, same. Like, and I'm the type of person that, like, something funny will stick in my head, and it'll just keep replaying, and it'll just be so funny. Like, I'll have laugh attacks for, like, 10 minutes.
Yep.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yep. All right. Most likely to be a rebel, that's definitely you.
Yeah.
That's 110% you.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even really defend that one.
All right. Most likely to have a secretive hidden side to them.
That's hard.
It is hard. I feel like
it would be you. Only because I'm fairly open. Like, I feel like you're, when it comes to your, like, personal stuff and, like, certain things that you're going through, I feel like you're more reserved to talk about it. I'm not reserved to talk about shit that I've been through or what I go through, so I don't really have a very sensitive side. I don't have a very secretive side about it. Like if you ask me about, like, certain things that I've been through, I'm not necessarily ashamed, like, not even ashamed, but, like, I'm not secretive or, like, no, I don't really want to talk about that, unless it's, like, more of an uncomfortable thing as opposed to me not keeping it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing that I do that most people don't know that I'm doing, you know?
That's true.
I feel like you would be more likely to have that.
I didn't want to admit that, but yeah. Because at first I was thinking you, but then I was like, the truth came out, and I was like, damn, can I really say that?
I think it's because, again, since I come off so reserved, people think, like, I feel like there's a lot to unpack when you get to know me, but it's not like I'm hiding anything. Like, I feel like you're very open, and it's usually the people that are the most initially open that usually have shit that they're not also talking about. So,
oh, bro, that's fat. See, this is what I'm talking about, y'all. Reading me to Phil.
I'm not even reading.
Yes, you are. But anyway. Yeah, girl. The rest of these aren't really that.
Yeah, I think that was a good amount.
Yeah, that was good. I can't say that I like more of them. But,
Well, you did relate to a lot of them, so.
But you know what, though? Okay, so the way that these people ranked them, I come up first, like, before you on most of these. Like,
yeah.
That's the sad thing. Oh, wait, hold on. I need you to look at the third question. Most to least likely to forgive you after making a huge mistake. Notice how I'm the least likely.
Ooh, that's a good one. Probably. Ooh, me.
You said you're most likely to forgive?
Oh, I thought it said most likely not to forgive.
It says most to least likely. So the most likely they have is Pisces. The least likely they have is Scorpio. And let me tell y'all something.
Oh, no.
We didn't tell y'all how they rank the other ones, but baby, do you want to talk about holding a grudge? That is where I've been growing. Because...
But that's a very nuanced perspective on it, because
that's real.
Holding a grudge but then still interacting with the person is interesting compared to actually, like, forgiving, because you're more likely to hold it but still interact with that person. I'm more likely to completely cut that person off and be like, no more.
You know what? That's exactly what it is. Because I definitely have let people around me, which goes back to more dragging from the horoscope, but I'm definitely more likely to hold on to something but still be around somebody who did me wrong.
Right. And I can't do that. That hurts my spirit. Like, but that's also, again, attachment styles, which comes into relationships and personal life. Like, I am definitely more likely to be like, absolutely not. We're not compatible. We're not working out. This is a problem. We're good. I'm good off of being friends with you. So it's not even like, I think we both don't forgive. I think we just manifest it differently.
Honestly, I'll say this.
You know what it is?
I don't forget. I can forgive you for my sake.
Right.
But that also takes a while. Like, it is, I'm not going to lie, it's very hard for me to forgive something big. Like, little things, over time, I'm like, all right. But there are some little things that happen so much that they become big.
I changed my mind. I feel like I am more likely to forgive.
Yeah.
I think I am.
I think you are, too.
I think it's just because I hold my mental space very, and my personal space and emotional state very important to me, that just because I forgive you doesn't mean I'm obligated to stay friends with you.
Mm.
So I'm the type, this thunder, turn it up.
I'm
more likely to forgive you. Like, I can come to terms with the fact that you wronged me in some way, but I'm just not the type of person that would sit there and be like, oh yeah, we can totally be exactly the same. And again, it depends on degrees of to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't say I hold grudges. Like, I remember stuff that has happened, but I'm not the type to be like resentful. Like, usually when it happens, I start to kind of forget about it. I'm like, all right, we squashed it. We said it was fine. I'm over it. I'm not thinking about it anymore. Right. So I would say that I'm more forgiving in that sense. But I'm definitely the type to, like, if you do something wrong to me, I'm definitely like, oh, well, my hands are clean of you. I don't fuck with you no more. It's fine. I have plenty of friends. I do not need to fuck with you if you're doing dickish things to me. So. But yeah. All right. I think we can finally wrap it up. This is a long episode, but I think it was long overdue. And I think it's.
Yeah.
It transitioned and ended on a good note, A, and B, we actually talked about what was on the outline. Come on! We're getting there.
Listen, look, actually, yeah, we stuck to the outline perfectly.
We did!
We called it. We told y'all that we were going to get it together, and we got it together.
Actually, no, we didn't, because we forgot about Idris Elba. Well!
No, we skipped over that. That's why, the thing I was like, I don't really think we can...
I forgot about it, but his shirt was dumb. Great, we touched on it right then and there.
Anyway, this has been another week. Thanks for sticking through it.
Yes, thanks, y'all.
As always, we appreciate y'all. Hold you close, send you light, love, and all that good shit.
All right, y'all. Talk to y'all later.